Isn't God good? God is so good. You know, God's doing something amazing in this nation and across the globe. And I just want to quickly share with you, and this is important that I do share this with you, because this will leave you as it did me, and I know it's done a couple of other the pastors here, excited. And we've seen the Shalom House, which I call a movement. It's a movement of God. And over the years, there's been, can I start the slide, revolution. I'm going to speak a little bit on revolution, revolutions and movements. Now, there's no God talk in this, okay? But there's a reason why. Nothing is new under the sun. You know, like a lot of the guys' testimonies you just heard, they probably thought, oh, mate, yeah, you haven't dealt with what I've been dealing with, you know. Yeah, rubbish. There's nothing new under the sun. And it does this. Society does this. And I believe we're on the crust. And you've heard it before. We're on the crust of the wave. Something happening. Big and fluffy Jesus is coming. You know, and you hear those things, don't you? Well, for a lot of us, a lot of my guys my age, I've heard of the 70s revival, charismatic revival in the 60s and the revivals and all that. And I haven't seen it. I haven't experienced it, but I can guarantee you we're about to experience it. Because watch this. What is a revolution? A radical and a persuasive change in society and social structure, especially one made suddenly. Okay, some, if not most of you, would have experienced the following movements and revolutions of the 60s and 70s. And some of you are probably blushing a bit, because some of you might have been caught up in some of these movements which I'm about to share. Let's have a quick look at them. Okay, revolutions of the 60s, the civil rights movement. All right, one of the most significant and successful movements in the modern world. Black Southerners formed part of this movement for full civil rights and the wider national struggle of racial equality in the US. That changed globally from that movement, the civil rights movement. Then we had the sexual revolution, okay? That was the invention of the pill, which led to sexual freedom for women. Roe versus Wade, that ruling meant abortion was made legal. Discovery of penicillin and the wide availability of the 40s and 50s meant a huge decrease in syphilis. At one point, 20,000 people per year were dying from this disease. Then we had the psychedelic revolution. Now, the psychedelic revolution era was a time of social and musical and artistic change influenced by psychedelic drugs known as LSD, trips, speed and all that, all those little drugs, not like meth today. Some of you guys, older people, think, oh, I've experienced drugs. You have not experienced drugs until you have experienced meth. And that's not an advert to go and do it. It's a warning sign, don't go and do it. All right, so occurring between the years of 1965 and 69. And then we had the rise of the alternative religions. Yoga, transcendental meditation, Buddhism, Hinduism, all challenged the traditional church and its teachings, its leaders and their actions. In the 60s, in the early 70s, religion itself was not rejected so much as was the institutionalized Christianity. The church, along with government, big business and military, those composing the establishment, were denounced by the young people of its time. Materialism, they were against materialism, they were against power ploys, and they were against self-interest and smug complacency. These are all the young people of the day. George Harrison and John Lennon from the Beatles. Now, this is with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, okay? Now, when I said, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I laughed too. But my daughter laughed when I read that out. But back then, that was a pretty cool name to have. If you had a name like that, you're a bit of a guru. Nowadays, if you came out with that, your friend would laugh at you. But anyway, Maharishi Yogi, and in 1966, London Evening Standard stated that the Beatles had become more popular than Jesus Christ. John Lennon later wrote the song Imagine, which was considered the atheist anthem. So those who like that song. Be careful when you sing it next time. And then we have the countercultural hippie revolution. Okay, during the 60s and 70s, the hippies were a countercultural movement that rejected the mores of mainstream life. The movement originated on college in campuses throughout the United States, although it spread to other countries. A big part of their message was make love. What are we hearing now? Love is... okay, not war. Make love, not war. The hippies were anti-war and promoted peace and love for being the answer of all things. And then we had, 50 years ago, the Jesus People Revolution. The Jesus People Revolution movement was an evangelistic Christian movement beginning with the west at the west coast of the United States and to the late 1960s. And spreading primarily through North America, Europe, Central America, before subsiding in the late 70s. And that moved to Australia, late 60s, early 70s. Members of the movement were called Jesus People or Jesus Freaks. It's funny that we heard Peter being called a God botherer or a God freak. Okay, the Jesus People movement had a profound effect on churches being able to connect with the youth of the day, and that was birthing ground for today's Christian contemporary music. Just back in those days, they had the hippies walking into the churches with bare feet and torn jeans and long hair, and some of the church rejected them because they thought, oh, my goodness, you can't come in here looking like that. They obviously forgotten to read the Word of God, which says, come as you are. Amen? So where did the Jesus People start? It started in 1967 at the Summer of Love in San Francisco, where thousands of young people flocked to hang out, take drugs, listen to music, have sex, and engage in free love. Various individuals, many hippies, saved out of the countercultural hippie scene, and the churches and the straight evangelists reached out to these young people, and hundreds and thousands of young people were saved and baptized. There were spontaneous Jesus People popping up around the nation and around the world. Some of them saw the Jesus People movement as a movement of was raging across a nation like a bushfire, jumping any obstacle to break out, almost by spontaneous combustion, in dozens of places and dozens of forms. This is revival spirit program with no mission board strategies, no evangelist at the head. The Jesus People movement shaped the development and direction of the larger American and Australian and European evangelical subculture. Contemporary music was a key of reaching the youth of the day. Converted hippies who had musical giftings brought a new influence into evangelical churches, primarily Pentecostal. Christian youth who had grown up in the church loved this music and also adopted and used its style. They were finally given the go-ahead to replicate a larger youth culture with proper respect and moral probity. Keith Green was converted out of the hippie scene, an already up-and-coming gifted secular musician. He began writing songs about his newfound faith, Jesus, the only way. We see now a lot of musicians coming to God in a big way. Billy Graham, who just was passed away just recently, he said this about the Jesus movement. He said, not without its faults, common criticisms were too superficial. Outside the mainline church, too emotional. The image of long hair and daggy clothes, etc. However, the Jesus People movement has the following characteristics. And Shalom, listen to this, because I believe Shalom has a place in Perth for the next movement, next phase. It centres on Jesus. It's Bible-based. This is the Jesus People. Demands an experience with Jesus Christ. It's a renewed emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Young people are finding a cure for drugs and other vicious habits which increasingly are captivating and enslaving the youth of the world. It's an emphasis on Christian discipleship. It's social responsibility. It's embracing everyone. And Shalom, you do that. You go to all different denominations of churches and you're forcing all these denominations to accept everyone. An incredible zeal for evangelism. We just heard two guys preaching the word. I mean, I just imagine Dave 20 years ago sitting in a cell probably thinking, will I ever be standing up here at Hillside Church preaching the word of God? A re-emphasis on the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the comparisons 50 years ago to today. Let's have a look. We had the sexual revolution. What do we got now? We've got equality now. The new sexual revolution is the gay movement. It's happening right underneath our noses. Okay, what's next? We have the psychedelic revolution. Nothing is new under the sun. Nothing is new. They had a massive drug epidemic back then. We have a massive drug epidemic now. This is exciting. What next? We had the hippie revolution. Vietnam. What have we got now? We've got climate control. We've got all the other things that are happening, the war and everything else. Next one. We had the alternative religions. Alternative religions, narcissism, self, nihilism, hedonism, which is the rejection of all religions and moral principles in the belief that life is meaningless. Life is pointless. So you may do as well as what you want. You might just go and do it. Who cares? Or hedonism, which is an ethical theory that is the pursuit of pleasure at the highest good and proper aim of human life. What are we taught today? What are the young people being taught today? If it feels good, do it. Stuff the rest of them. This is where we're at. Next. Threats to world peace. I said before, Vietnam. You know, those of you who are old enough that went through that Vietnam period, it was a scary time. You were uncertain. Look what's happening now in Syria and what's happened in the Middle East. We have a lot of young people frightened of what's happening of this war. Nothing new under the sun. What's next? Jesus people. These Jesus people started going into these big places with placards saying, Jesus loves you. Not the placards that say, you're going to hell, which we sometimes see. No, they were saying, Jesus loves you. You want to find a cure for drugs? Jesus is the cure for drugs. You want to find a cure for relationships? Jesus is the cure from relationships. Hundreds and thousands of people saw those signs and came towards Jesus Christ. Where are we now? Next. The challenge. Who and where are the equivalent Jesus people of today, 50 years on, in an environment that is ripe for a new revolution? I stood up in Victory Life the other day to all the pastors there and I said, you know, movements have great leaders. And Billy Graham, he was knocked, he was sledged, he was spat on, he was vilified and everything for his stance on Jesus Christ and morals and integrity. We have a person, we are here for you guys, we are affiliated with Victory Life and Pastor Margaret. And over that time, who was the one that stood up? Who was the prominent pastor in Australia that stood up to what was going on in the last 12 months? Pastor Margaret. Victory Life, a movement. Shalom. You know, I'm amazed that at Shalom, I was seeing how many people are getting baptized. So, oh my goodness, it's happening. 30-odd people at a time getting baptized at Shalom. Not just the blokes, but their wives and children. Something is happening. When you get a bunch of these guys in this room today, going through what they've gone through, in despair, not knowing where to turn to, but they turn to Jesus. I tell you what, something is happening in this nation. The church is awakening and something is about to happen. You young people that have been wanting to see a charismatic revival, well, revival is on its way. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. I would ask the music team up, but Kay, we'll quickly pray for Kay because her son Craig was involved in a car accident this morning, but he's okay, he's okay. But she just had to go and pick him up. So Heavenly Father, we do lift up Kay and Craig. And Lord, we don't pray for the car because that's just dumb metal. But Lord, we just pray, Lord, that for Craig's safety, that he's okay. Lord, bless him. Bless the other person that was involved as well. And we just pray for a good outcome. Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord, for a revival. Lord, but I know it starts in our own hearts first. And Lord, what you have shown us today, Lord, there's nothing new under the sun. Lord, I know that you're about to pour out your spirit on this nation. You're about to pour your spirit out on this church. Lord, I pray that we are all ready for this revival. Lord, we can't wait. We're so expectant of this revival. And we just thank you, Lord, that you see us as your children. Lord, that you teach us that there is nothing new under the sun, that you know all, you know everything. We cannot hide or change things. Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one of us will leave this place excited and expectant. I pray for the spirit of expectation. I pray for the spirit of excitement. I pray for the spirit of joy, Lord, to be filled in the hearts of everyone in this room this morning. And Lord, just as that we go out, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for the food that Gracie has prepared for the boys here today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will bless this food to their bodies. Lord, you'll bless the hands that prepared that food. And Lord, I pray for a great time of fun and fellowship. And Lord, over the next 3 weeks, as I prayed before, I lift up Pastor Craig and the team. Lord, I pray that you'll put a legion of angels, Lord, around this place and around the homes of the congregation. And Lord, I just pray that the next 3 weeks will be an awesome time in the house of the Lord here. We just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.